Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Jennifer doesn't know this, but I received a letter from someone applying for the minister's position in this church, and I'd just like to list some of the person's qualities. And I'll ask, would you call this person? Number one, this person does not want to lead. Number two, this person has a bad temper. This person, three, often deals with problems in violent ways. And four, this person has goals, but sometimes does not complete his objectives. Would you call this person as minister of this church? Carl says yes. Who am I talking about? Moses. Yes, yeah. And this spring we're looking at Moses as leader. And of course he had other qualities than those ones we've mentioned. Today we're reading the famous account of the burning bush. And I would ask as I read this, I would ask you just to think about, is there a burning bush in our own lives? Something that has a very deep impact. This is from Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness. And he came to Horeb, or Sinai, the mountain of God. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and lo, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush isn't being burned up. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. And then God said, do not come near. Put off the shoes from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And God said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look on God. Then the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people. Note the kind of God this is. I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Last week we saw the infant Moses escape certain death through a very resourceful mother and sister. And he was adopted by the Pharaoh's daughter, raised in the palace, had a very privileged upbringing in comparison to his people who were in slavery. And one day, as he was older, he went out to inspect a irrigation project, and he saw a taskmaster beating up a Hebrew slave. And he reacted, he fell on that taskmaster, beat him up himself, and killed the man, and buried him in the sand. But the deed became known. And I think it's very telling. How do you think it became known? His own people notified the authorities what had happened. And now he's burned. And Moses had to flee for his life outside of Egypt. He goes down into the Sinai. And there he kind of settles down. He marries a woman called Zipporah, which means little bird. And he spends his life taking care of his father-in-law, Jethro's flock of sheep. And you can imagine now, the time is going by. It's hard to judge, but maybe 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, maybe even 20 years. And this man is beginning to wonder, you know, what have I done with my life? What have I accomplished? I don't know if you've ever had this experience. I imagine most of you have. I can remember flying into New York City, and it must have been bad weather or something like that, but they put us in a holding pattern where we just went around in circles. For maybe half an hour, we went around in circles. And have you ever found in your own life times when you've also been in that holding circle, that holding pattern, where you seem to be going nowhere, just around and around, accomplishing nothing, doing nothing? And this is Moses now. He's getting older. He's not getting any younger. He's off the stage of world history. He's tending sheep. They're not even his own sheep. They're the father-in-law's sheep. This man is beginning to wonder, you know, I'm not young anymore. What have I accomplished? What have I done? Nothing. Nothing. Now, have you ever been there in that holding pattern? I think we never want to say that it's the end. We've accomplished nothing. Sometimes we go through that feeling when we've sort of had the stuffing knocked out of us by life. We've been through tremendous loss or something. And we feel we're getting older. And our time to make some positive contribution to life is really past. But I think Moses says to us, wait a minute. That's not the case. And remember, this is a man who may feel he's getting older. He's young no more. He's off the stage of world history. But his life is really beginning. Isn't there a sense in which his life is really beginning? It's not over. Now, people talk about defining moments in life when there seems to be a decision, an experience, an event which makes a lasting impact on our lives, powerful impact. And for Moses, this defining moment took place in a religious experience. He wasn't seeking God. He was just doing his normal work, taking care of the sheep, when out of the blue, this experience happened. He was guiding the sheep on the lower slopes of Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb toward the twilight, and he looked up and he saw a thorn bush that was on fire, but it wasn't being burned up. And he turned aside to see this sight. Now, what he saw There have been all kinds of attempted explanations at spontaneous combustion, something like St. Elmo's fire, some kind of electrical discharge. I had a chemistry professor in one church who said that it sounded very much like what marsh gas can do. Some people have said it was this bright sunset, leaves on the plant. We will never know. But this much is sure, that it was an outward sign of an inward upheaval taking place in that man's life. This man was confronting God, something that, again, he hadn't sought. It was just coming out of nowhere. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And I have heard the cry of my people in slavery. This was the turning point in this man's life. It was the time when suddenly a man who had been aimless, just wandering, finds himself, gets his bearings in life. I don't know if you've ever had an experience like that where suddenly you found yourself. I was reading a book by Sir Francis Chichester. He was an early aviator. And he has a book called The Lonely Sea and the Sky. And in this book, he tells how he was flying this. Again, these are back in primitive times in terms of air power. He was flying a plane called the Gypsy Moth, and he was going from New Zealand across the Tasmanian Sea to Australia. But the Gypsy Moth didn't have the gas storage that was really needed for that trip, so you had to stop along the way. And he had to stop at Norfolk Island, which was a tiny spot in the sea. At most, it would be maybe a mile wide, just a tiny spot in a great big sea. Francis Chichester took off from New Zealand. The sun was shining, able to get his bearings with his sextant and everything. But he wasn't long into the trip when clouds came in, and he couldn't get his bearings. And he could feel the wind blowing him off course. And he realized this was serious, because if he didn't make that island, he would go down into the sea. That was all there was. He couldn't see, but then there was an opening in the clouds, and he took a chance. He went up into that opening, and holding the plane's rudder stick between his knees, he was able to take his sextant and get his bearings from the sun. And he did this on several occasions along the way, where he was able to again find himself and where he was. And when he came out of the clouds, there was Norfolk Island. He was able to refuel and go on. And I think for Moses, that burning bush was like the break in the clouds where he was once again able to get his bearings. And he found himself called back to the God that his mother had taught him about. Remember, the mother was his nurse while he was growing up. And she taught him about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's called back to that. He's called back to conscience. He's called back to concern about his people. I don't know if you've ever had that experience where there is this defining moment that in our own lives, we see that burning bush, and all of a sudden we're called back to the God that we remember from childhood, to the God who calls us to get our bearings, to get our lives straight. Have you ever had that? Moses was confronted by a God who was concerned about the state of the Jewish people and their sufferings. And he says, I want you to go and bring those people out of bondage. And how do you think Moses reacted? Not me. No way. I can't speak. I stammer. And it's interesting, just as a sidebar, I was reading just this week in a footnote to something no less, that Winston Churchill started out with a stammer and with a lisp, and he was always very careful with his speeches to counter his disability that way so it wouldn't be noticed. But this man says to God, no way, I can't speak, the people won't believe me, hey, I got burned this way the last time, no way. But remember, there's a reason why this man is chosen. And that is because he's the only one who has experienced freedom. He has never been a slave. He doesn't have a slave's outlook or mentality. He's the only one who knows what freedom is. You know, God sometimes knows us better than we know ourselves. And not sometimes. God definitely knows us better than we know ourselves. Excuses. All kinds of excuses come from Moses as to why he shouldn't be the person. And there's a play, a musical that has this song in it, and I'll just read you to give you an idea of some of the excuses. Use me, O Lord, use me, but not just now. As soon as I get promoted, as soon as the house was built, as soon as my psychiatrist tells me I am free from guilt. I want you to use me, O Lord. Use me, O Lord, but not just now. As soon as I've paid the mortgage, as soon as the kids are grown, as soon as they finish college, as soon as they're on their own. I want you to use me, O Lord. Use me, O Lord, but not just now. As soon as I've reached retirement, as soon as they're getting ahead, as soon as I draw my pension, as soon as I am dead. Whoa. All kinds of excuses. Have you ever felt that maybe God was pushing you into a job or something that you really didn't feel was right for you? Have you ever felt sort of inadequate to the task that you were called to do? You know, I think having a sense of our limitations is good sometimes. I remember those old Dirty Harry movies where Clint Eastwood says, a man's got to know his limitations. And that's true. But I think it's also very true that if we take our skills, our talents, our abilities, as inadequate as they may be, and place them in God's hands, miracles can happen. We can make a difference in life, regardless of the stage we're in life, where we are in life. I remember the old Pope John saying, you know, God may give us a little in our life, but I intend to do everything that he gives us. Moses was upset. He said, I don't have the right stuff. I can't do it. And you know what God said to him? You're not going to be alone. I will be with you. And I wonder if today, when we see a flame in our own lives, if we don't also receive that promise with whatever we're facing. Remember, you're not alone. I will be with you. Amen.